What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with y'all for rolling on this Tuesday morning with the Phils. They do it again, and this time, pretty cool fashion. Bryce Harper, the walk-off hit, really well-pitched game. We'll get to it as the Phillies have now won three in a row. We'll get to a lot of Eagles stuff today as well. It's a really big day for some Eagles we don't know as much about. Hate to say it, guys. If you're listening, waking up, a bunch of you about to get cut. James, is that rude? I mean, I'm not...
I'm going to guess that at 5:57 in the morning...
They're not less
Yeah, that's my guess.
Look, here's
I'm
the
hoping
deal.
At least, because a little rude.
As Eagles fans, we want the best players out there. So Howie and Nick and the crew choose the best players. So 4 o'clock today for the cuts. 10 days, obviously, to the Eagles and the Packers in Brazil. Look, all of it with you on the table.
10 days,
I know,
man.
I know. It is barreling toward us, 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
What's up, Johnny?
There are 24 places in America named Hollywood.
Wow, that's a ripoff.
It kind of is.
Yeah, it's a ripoff.
Hollywood ripoff?
24 Hollywoods
you feel
besides?
Ripped off?
Well, look at Lincoln. There's a first Lincoln, and then there's like 37 million other Lincolns.
I would bet there is every... Bet every big city there's another one somewhere in the country.
Well, look, we're a ripoff. I found out when I was in Turkey last couple
weeks ago. There you go, Philadelphia, Turkey.
Yeah, there's a Philadelphia. The original Philadelphia was in Turkey like a long time ago.
Well, that's interesting.
I go on these cruises, I learn. It isn't just about all...
It's an educational
It's an trip. Education.
You learn and then you forget a week later.
You learn but do not maintain. Right, yeah, so, you don't absorb.
So here's what we learned last night. Three in a row for the Fighting Phils. Before we go any further, I got to hear how it ended. A 2-0 deficit became a 3-2 win.
First and second with nobody out. Ground ball, right side, into right field, a base hit. Here comes Schwarber, out third, heading for home. Here's the throw to the plate. Not in time! Bryce Harper wins it. Here in the bottom of the 10th inning, 3-2. It's the 7th walk-off win of the year for the Phils.
Look, an outstanding job by the Phils last night coming back. Listen to that crowd. I mean, that's great stuff. So look, Harper, I think the star of the game, Zach Wheeler, obviously anytime you start, only give up two runs, you know, you had a big hand in it. So too did the bullpen. So too did Grit. Team Grit coming back and finding a way. How about Rojas with the catch? I mean, that was a pretty damn cool game.
Orion Kerkering got out there, did his thing. Hoffman, Estevez, Matt Strom.
Yeah.
They shut it down, too. That was the type of win that carries,
No, it's
man.
Good stuff, man.
That was the type of win where you saw Bryce's reaction.
Yeah.
You saw Bryce was ready for that reaction way before the end of that game. You saw he was dialed in. And that this team was performing with a different intensity against a quality opponent.
That's right.
Last night felt good when it was all said and done, but it felt good during the game because it was like, oh my gosh, wow, that's the Phillies team.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like overwhelmingly like blammo, 12 runs, yeah. 11 runs, you know, like, but it was good baseball for the most part. And it was with our leader finally playing
a
leader.
Well, look, I mean, their two best players were, you know, probably their two best players last night, Harper and Wheeler. So we'll take your thoughts on the Phils at 215-592-9494. I'll tell you, a lot of people you might not know, but it's not just three in a row for the Phils. It's 8-12. So that sounds like the Phillies from earlier this year.
A lot better.
Right?
Sounds a lot better.
Because, James, I know as recently as 3 days ago we were all in a bad mood, but when you just take a step back, when you take two steps back and you survey the last 2 weeks, you say, oh, my team has actually won 8-12. I remember what that felt like. All right, so we'll take your thoughts on the Phils who maintained with the Atlanta Braves last night. Braves win, Phils win. So 215-592-9494 to get in on the Fighting Phils and a nice job last night. All right, let's get to the Eagles. So as we referenced a few minutes ago, 10 days now to Brazil. That still sounds weird. Yep, 10 days to Brazil, the Eagles and Packers, Friday Night Football, the whole deal. All right, so we have examined this coming season 27 ways. What's the saying, John? 27 ways from Sunday, and why?
Not
it's a
sure.
great question.
Like, yeah. Why is it all those ways from Sunday? Anyway,
I like till the cows come home.
I mean,
more than 27 ways till Sunday. If I examine something, sure. I want to examine it till the cows come home.
Well, let's put it this way: we've turned it inside and out, flipped it upside and down to try to figure out the little nuggets within the coming season that we should all have our mind on. And I'm curious at 215-592-9494, what you think, despite all of us having talked so much about all the parts of the team. What do you think we have not? I don't mean just me and John and James and Devin and Rhea when she's here. Devin in for Rhea today. But, you know, when we're all here, it's not just what we've talked about, but what you listening have talked about with your friends, perhaps calling into WIP or thought about on your own. What hasn't gotten quite enough discussion? Because a lot of it's gotten a lot of discussion. But there obviously are always some things that are really big deals or more minor deals that could be examined further. And I'm curious, 215-592-9494, what comes to mind for you? Let me give you one. And I got to tell you, this has to be big time on the minds of Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman. Because they ain't going anywhere. Everyone else, there's a possibility of shuttling in and out. That obviously includes the head coach. It could include the quarterback. It obviously will include the rank and file of the roster. You know, even a guy like Lane Johnson, I mean, he's probably only going to be here another 2 to 4 years. You know, there's a finite amount of time that people get to be on the team, so to speak. And let me tell you something that I truly believe we have not talked nearly enough about, and it's great to know that Jalen had an excellent training camp. But I want to put this out there as just and in part this might help Jalen stay, but just know the stakes going into the year. It is critical that he be good. Really good would be better. Truly great would be best. It is critical that he be good because unlike 4 years ago with Carson Wentz, ladies and gentlemen, there ain't nobody waiting in the wings. There ain't nobody at that position on this roster not named Jalen Hurts waiting in the wings. So when you have A.J. Brown and you have Devontae Smith and you have Dallas Goedert and you got all these parts, like 4 years ago when things collapsed with Carson and they did, you had a backup quarterback who actually had a shot to be a legitimate starter for years to come, and good for him. Jalen Hurts grabbed the ball and ran with it in those first couple of years, and it really helped to transition. This team right now doesn't have that guy, and this team likely will struggle to get that guy because most teams don't land.
Every team looks and usually doesn't find. Yeah, Every team out there hopes and prays that they can find a guy who can step in.
And it's very hard to do.
And it's usually a fail.
So while we talk a lot about
this. So that is a luxury above all.
Yeah, while we talk a lot about this team this year. I mean, James, you know we also talk big picture Eagles a lot. Jalen better be good because if he's not, the cupboard is bare. That, let me tell you something.
Hey, the good thing is he is good. And so the cupboard's not going to be bare. Jalen is that good. And he's spent this entire preseason proving that again and again.
Well, no,
including practice. He threw one pick this preseason.
Look, I'm happy the way he played.
I mean,
he didn't play in the preseason, so
that's the only time he could throw a pick. So I have a major problem with the way the practice part has been conducted.
Well, give me what's on your mind, John. And I want to hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. I don't think there's been enough examination of if he doesn't do well, then what? It actually, in a certain way, could save his job. But let's hope it doesn't even come to that. Let's hope he soars and they soar.
He will. He's capable of soaring. We finally have an offense that will protect him.
Hold on. He also proved last year he's capable of crash and burn.
Mm-hmm. Just like everyone else.
Not everyone else is getting paid $250 million.
Come on, man. He didn't have a system that even gave him a chance. Now he's got the system, but we haven't seen it. And I can't believe this organization believes only one side of the ball needs to practice to that degree. Think about that. Vic Fangio, the old school, you know, nutty old guy, man, you know, shaking his stick at everything. Yeah, I like it like that. I like him being the ornery, you know, tough, you know, old school coach. That's a good thing, and this team is gravitating toward that. The defensive players, they seem to really enjoy that part. I think it's going to make us tougher. Our offense isn't following the same line of thinking. Think about that. One side of the football is actually playing in the preseason now, and the other side is not.
Yeah, that's right.
That is, I mean, it's a step in the right direction, but holy cow, I can't get over this. You don't see this. You don't see this elsewhere.
It really doesn't bother
me,
John.
It's very unusual.
It really doesn't.
Couldn't care less.
Well, yeah, I mean,
we
don't
care
about,
how about the fact that I don't believe in this head coach? I think we should all be concerned that we have a head coach that might not be respected at the degree that I think a head coach should be respected. Like, that's a big concern. Everyone just accepts that, hey, Nick's going to take that back seat, and now he'll just delegate, and he'll somehow lead the team in a different role without a hitch. Like, do you really think this is going to be pulled off as smoothly as the Eagles seem to expect? I think it's sort of depends upon the players taking a step back and saying, all right, I'll just suspend my disbelief here because everything points to the fact that they don't trust this guy, Nick Sirianni.
It does point to that, yeah.
But I'm supposed to trust him as my head coach. Okay. I guess I'll try to do that.
Well, I will say
you're sending me mixed messages, Eagles organization.
No, that's fair. Mixed messages, I think, is a fair way to frame it. I'll say this. I'm sure the players were a little confused when the whole thing started, and maybe still, hopefully not. The Eagles brass, Lurie and Howie, did send the message to the players, we don't trust Nick to be centrally involved with the offense. We do trust him to be the leader of the team. Now, the players can choose to get on board with that or not, and it's Sirianni's job to try to convince them, so to speak, by being a leader.
We trust him to be the leader of the team beneath the leader of the team, that's Howie Roseman, beneath the leader of the team, that's Jeffrey Lurie.
That's always been a reality. I mean, look, they did win a Super Bowl with Doug with that sort of setup. So, you know,
Left because of that setup becoming too imposing and taking too much power away from the guy who's supposed to be respected above all others.
They also went right back to the Super Bowl 2 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had a lot of...
Last year we had the strange feel of the way it all went down. Like, we are tinkering with a recipe here, and they have not gotten it quite right yet.
Well, look, I'm curious at 215-592-9494. There's the big picture, long-term type of topics like John and I were just talking about. There's also the nitty-gritty of the roster. You know, what you think, while we've examined it, perhaps we haven't hit enough. I mean, what's top of mind for you? You know, Saquon, how involved will he be? I don't expect him to be as involved as John. John and I have a clear disagreement on the usage of Saquon Barkley. I mean, he'll be involved, don't get me wrong, and he should be, of course. But I don't see this as a situation where they pound him. You know, I think they're going to mix and match with the other running backs. I think they're going to try to find a way to get him not only to February, if they play in that game healthy, but also for 2 or 3 years to be an effective Eagle. Let's remember, guys, he's entering year 7. So if you expect 20 carries week 1, I think you're going to be waiting until the end of the game and find out you were wrong. Look, all of it on the table. 215-592-9494. Maybe you're of the mindset to just pound Saquon. Like, what difference does it make? He's not going to be here in 5 years. Maybe your mindset is just run him into the ground and try to get as much as you can while you can. I mean, that's not a crazy argument. Eagles don't owe him anything in 6 years, so maybe the argument is just use him as much as you possibly can. 215-592-9494. All of this. What do you make of it? What have we not discussed enough? What's top of mind for you with the Eagles? All right, so the Fighting Phils last night, they get the win. Let's hope in 10 days the Eagles get a win. You know, it's interesting in the update with Devin with the 2 seed. It's funny, we don't normally talk that way, but that's what it's become.
Seeds.
Yeah, I mean, we've always applied that to basketball and hockey and what am I missing? Oh, football for sure. But, I mean, that's exactly, you know, baseball playoffs. 2 teams get a bye. I mean, this is not completely new, but somewhat new. And so it really does matter to be the 2 seed instead of the 3 seed. Now, look, there's an argument, and we'll find out over the next 5 years or so what proves better. I mean, there are some people that think it's actually better to take your chance, have to play in the first round, and remain active instead of rusty. We'll see. I mean, it is notable in the last couple of years since they went to this new format. Teams that got a bye have struggled big time in the first round they've played. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure the Phillies would really try to simulate a game if they're in that spot. I mean, a couple games. Keep the guys sharp. But, you know, there's only so much you can simulate the action because the real action, I mean, if you're not really playing the game all out, it's a different deal. All right.
So that doesn't apply to football and the offense.
So it's interesting. I mean, it does, but the injury thing is not a fake thing.
Mm.
Right?
No.
I mean, guys really do get hurt playing
football. You're not getting beat up as much for the most part in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, it's a collision violent game, that game of football.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you, John. Seven years.
Tough guys who play it.
All right, 215.
They can handle it.
592-9494. One other thing, you know, talking a lot today about what have we not examined enough as a show, as a station, as a sports community on the Eagles. Let me give you one more. Because I got to tell you, there's something I think to be really excited about. And that is Jalen Carter. What have we not talked enough about that, you know, this guy this year might really take off and be our next dude on defense? I mean, when we've had
He's absolutely going to take off and be that guy. Last year, remember, it was sort of like half a season.
And it was phenomenal for the first half.
And then he kind of went kaput, which is to be expected. But for any young kid
who comes in and has to...
Well, you're right. It was dramatic.
Yeah, it was.
But that rookie wall is real.
Yep.
And his body just wasn't physically prepared. They also had issues with the whole mindset of that entire D line. Like that needed to be better. Mm-hmm. Period. Like staying in shape. That example needed to be set in a better way. But I think they're working on ironing all that out now. Yeah. This guy's going to crush the league if he's playing up to his capabilities. This guy's going to take over, man.
Look, the last time the Eagles had looks like he's a dominant interior defensive lineman, they a few years later won the Super Bowl with him as, I think, the best player on the team. Talking about Fletcher. And obviously they made the playoffs an awful lot. Ross Tucker believes.
This is like a different, this feels like it could be just such a different level. I mean,
Fletcher?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Fletcher, and I know that sounds almost blasphemous, but to me, the level of dominance, the level of sheer power.
Look, John, I agree.
Now, and Fletcher had a ton of power. He could bull rush with the best of them. But this kid is like the power, but then the fluidity of movement on top of it with the strength and speed. It's like the Reggie White experience almost. You hate to say it. You hate to, you know.
Yeah, some people were saying that last year. Yeah, I remember.
On a kid.
Yeah.
But it really is that dominant at times.
Let's get a lot of calls in here. On the Birds, on the Phils after the win last night, 215-592-9494. Let's kick it off with Fred, calling from Scranton. What's going on, Fred?
What's going on, guys?
It's Hi,
good
Fred.
To talk to you again. I really love your show. I really do.
Thanks, Fred.
Thank you, buddy.
I love Scranton. I spent a lot of time around Scranton.
Oh, have you? Well, Vic Fangio is... only a town he grew up, a town over from me. Hmm. So, yeah, it's cool. I stopped listening to music because of WIP in my car. So,
good
nice.
Man,
good man.
you for doing that, Fred.
Oh, you're welcome. I think Saquon his health is a big concern for me because he.
I agree.
I don't know when the last time he played a full season healthy.
I think the hometown return thing does factor in here. And I know it's not really his hometown, but it's close. It's as close as you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And I think that does help a star running back sort of push through sometimes. If he's nicked, got a little something here or there. I do think Christian McCaffrey last season pushed through some things maybe he ordinarily would not have. Because he was playing in San Francisco, which is just up the peninsula from where he played in college, where he has a lot of friends in the area still. You know, it's with no traffic, it takes 40 minutes, 45 minutes to drive from Stanford, California, to maybe less. But now that they're in Santa Clara, holy cow, it's right next to where he went to college. It really does feel like that comfort level of returning home helps helps any position player, but these stars, they'll push through a little extra. It might be that one thing that really does make a difference with a star pushing through with a little extra in professional sports.
All right, Fred, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I hope I love John's optimism. I mean, he's so, and you guys, your banter in the mornings, it's awesome. It really is.
Thank you.
It's cool to have that optimism and then that pessimism that comes in with it. I work with a couple guys that are big Raiders fans, and they still talk about you, John.
Wow, that's cool, Fred.
Yeah. And I said, you know, he was an Eagle, also. I said, you know, so. But anyway,
do they call him the Izell Jenkins of the Raiders? Is that no? I'm just kidding.
Listen, the Raider fans, they're loyalists too. You know what
there
I mean?
There you go. All right, Fred, what do you got on the Phillies? Go ahead.
Oh, I want to make an online or an on-air apology to Tom Kelly and the producer on Sunday because I had called and I got segued into their pre-Philly thing. What's the name of it?
I don't know. Pre-game show? But what's your point? But just give me the point.
The point is I mentioned the Eagles and the caller after me was flipping out. He said, and I was talking about the Phillies, you know, and, mm-hmm. and I just want.
All good. Fred got mad at you for mixing it up.
Throwing a pregame show. All good, buddy. Fred, appreciate the call. Call us again when you can, man. 215-592-9494. So looking at Saquon's stats here, I just pulled him up in front of me. It is notable there's only two seasons in which he's rushed for over 1,004 yards. Can I say that? Seltzer, can I do that? Is that doing a stat dirty? I mean,
people do whatever they want with stats, so go for it.
His third highest is 1,003 yards, which is just ducking your head above the bar. It's like, yeah, it's a chin up, but it barely got there for 1,000. All right. So three times at 1,000, the third of which is 1,003. Obviously, that's not what you'd call a robust season. It is notable that he's never had 300 carries in a season. Obviously, he's missed, you know, some games for sure. Now, the one year he only played two games. Otherwise, he's always played 14 or more, so that's pretty good. But, yeah, there's some seasons where he, you know, misses three or misses two. I mean, that's, you know, it's going to happen sometimes. Look, I think it's good that they have.
His rookie year, he had 16 starts. He had two seasons where he started all the games in the regular season.
Can I tell you something about his rookie year? In his rookie year, the Eagles would not have traded Carson Wentz for four first-round picks. And Carson Wentz now stinks. Do you get my point? It's a long time ago. Seltzer, okay. Did he get the point?
No. I got it. I knew what you were talking about.
I wasn't following. I'm looking at his rookie year. It's a long time ago. 91.
I mean, Alshon Jeffrey was playing. What else do you want me to tell you about his rookie year?
What else? Different time.
Anything else? I don't know. That's, you know. you get Bill Belichick was before he won his last Super Bowl, and then had four straight bad years.
Tom Brady was going to win a Super Bowl on another team. Still, he had two left.
Two Super Bowls still to win.
You guys need to stop. He's 27.
Yeah,
he's 27.
He's a running back.
He's a running back.
I get it. He doesn't seem like you do.
No, it doesn't seem you get it.
I was a running back.
Right, and you were done after 7 years.
Literally 7 years. Your career was over.
It doesn't seem like I get it.
Yes.
I was a running back. I played.
How many years you played
in a
pro
room
football
with these guys? Okay. I guarantee I understand what he's feeling to some degree.
So
probably more than you.
I agree more than me, but I don't think big picture you get that he's closer to the end than the beginning.
Of course I do, and everyone in that building knows that. Okay. He's 7 years in. He's a running back,
right?
But that doesn't mean at 27 that it's the sunset. Holy cow,
this guy
can still outrun the defenders who are trying to tackle him. He can outrun over every linebacker who tries to take him out and safety and corner.
Yep.
This guy is the perfect weapon in today's NFL, especially when you got tiny little pass coverage defenders all over the place. We are going to make use of the perfect weapon to an extended degree that you do not seem to appreciate.
All right, look, 215-592-9494. I'll tell you one thing. Being at training camp, I think it was last week, I was struck by how big he is. He's a big dude.
How often they threw to him. Did you notice that part too?
I noticed that as well.
The backs are a bigger part of our offense now.
Indeed they
are. Just get used to it, and it's going to be awesome.
All right, Jonah Cameron, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494. Coming up, more on that Phillies game from last night, plus your chance to win cool concert tickets. We'll get to that and more. All right, sun's starting to come out here throughout the Delaware Valley, and of course, 10 days to an Eagles game as they will be playing in Brazil. I heard it's going to be, I think, 2 hours later there than here. So it's like a 9 o'clock game there, or 10 o'clock game there. Some kind of late. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, Devin, what have we not talked? I mean, we've talked about, it seems like, everything on the Birds, but what do you think has not maybe gotten quite enough examination?
I mean, I don't want to sound super negative because I'm excited for this season and I'm optimistic, but I think almost opposite from recent years, the trenches on both sides of the ball, I don't think we're discussing enough in terms of depth, especially.
I agree.
On the offensive line, the right guard position still kind of remains a big question mark.
Might be a disaster.
It might be. Yeah. And like that's going to be key. I know that offense has a ton of weapons and Jalen Hurts has been given all the tools he needs. But if that O-line is thin, that all kind of falls apart.
I mean, here's what people should know about Mekhi Becton. He was a first-round pick. He's one of the biggest guys in the NFL. Jets fans couldn't wait to get rid of him. And now the Eagles have him playing a different position. I mean,
playing tackle.
That's tough, man.
He was playing tackle.
I know. I mean, you know,
he kind of got hurt earlier in training camp.
Better players around him. He'll be asked to do less. Think about the difference between being on the island out as a left tackle where there's no one to help you and playing inside at guard when you've got a center on one side, you've got a tackle on the other side. So basically, you've got two sets of hands. You know, one on either side of you to help you if need be.
John, which group do you think is stronger? If you include the pass rushers as defensive linemen, so that would involve, you know, the Reddicks and not Reddick, the Huff and all them. Jeez. The D-line or the O-line, which group is better?
I have no idea what is, Bryce. I still don't know. I don't trust. I trust the offensive line more than I trust the defensive line.
Yeah.
A lot more, in part because Jeff Stoutland, I know he's going to bring everyone along. I don't think we have the depth that I trust from having seen them perform in preseason games well. In previous years, there would be more offensive linemen that we sort of knew, that we had watched, you know, that maybe had gotten into games in previous years. Now it feels like more of a question mark. But then you go to the defensive side of things, and it's like, holy cow. It's Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, and Milton Williams. Those are the big names. And then a bunch of guys, Ojomo, Tuipulotu, who we still don't really know well, even though he's been here.
They were still playing in that third preseason
game. Mustafer, right.
It's time. Here's the deal. It is time for Jordan Davis to play football and sustain
it. And I don't trust that he's capable of doing that.
I don't want to hear about the Ojomos and the Tuipulotu. I hear you, John. They're going to get their chances. But this needs to be year three for Jordan Davis.
Could finally get the appreciation he deserves this year.
He's all right.
Jordan Davis, what we're expecting of him, which is get out there and play like a starter, like a guy who gives you a normal, whatever it might be. Maybe it's 75 snaps at times. Can you do that, Jordan Davis?
Well, yeah.
I still, you know, jury's out. I don't know. I don't know if that's possible.
215-592-9494. We'll also get to, coming up shortly here, what I think is the most interesting cut situation. Will he make it? Will he not make it today? We'll address that shortly. Let's also give you a chance here to win a pair of tickets to see the Killers as they are going to be in the area on September 7th, Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. September 7th for the Killers. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Happy birthday goes out to that Aaron Paul, the number two guy, if you will, on Breaking Bad. Phenomenal show. Obviously, Walter White and his buddy Aaron Paul and the whole deal, and what a great show it was. And today we'll ask you, because that's an interesting one dynamic of that show that's really interesting, I think particularly in the first season, is the relationship between the two of them despite a generational divide. I mean, wasn't Walter White his teacher?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So you have, like, you know, the middle-aged guy, and then you have the you know, the young 20-ish-something guy, and it creates an interesting dynamic between the two of them. Today at 215-592-9494, we will ask you, and the best answer is going to win the tickets to The Killer. From all the movies and TV shows you've ever seen. Killers, what'd I say? The Killer, yeah. From all the movies and TV shows you've seen, books, anything it might be, what's the most interesting relationship where there's a generational divide? Can be super old and super young, can be, you know, a 60-year-old and a 30-year-old. I mean, you know, like, they're not too close. Like, Daniel LaRusso.
How big is a divide?
Let me give you one here. I mean, Daniel LaRusso and Mr. Miyagi clearly have a divide.
That's a big one.
Like, they just do. Like, Richie and Fonzie.
You need to stop.
Richie and Fonzie don't have a divide.
Well,
they're like 5 years apart or something.
But there is a bit of a divide.
But it's not enough.
Yeah, you're right. They're a little bit too
chummy.
They're
the same generation. All right. But Miyagi and Danielson. I mean, it's clearly they're from different generations. All right.
That was my answer.
So. All right. Best answer. Get that thinking cap on, Devin. Best answer by the end of the show for a fascinating dynamic between two people from different generations. Whoever provides the best answer is going to win the ticket to the Killers. John, what are you thinking here today?
I cannot get over. I'm going to defend a character who has been much maligned by society. Since when I was a child, watching Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, reading Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Grandpa was love. Grandpa was warm. Grandpa was the nurturing Grandpa.
Grandpa Joe.
It's like,
Lazy Joe. I like to call him Lazy Joe, personally.
Yeah, the grandpa that didn't get out of bed until he won a golden ticket.
Or that's so messed up.
Grandson won. Yeah.
Everyone believes that Grandpa was this lech now.
It like inspired him.
Like a malingerer. Grandpa was not a malingerer, Jimmy. Grandpa was a loving grandpa.
He for like 30 years,
ill.
And then Charlie's like, I got a gold ticket. He's like, let's roll.
It was a miracle that he could get out of bed, and he could go with Charlie, and he could provide that rock-solid guidance through that experience, where other kids who had poor guidance were falling by. They were...
Devin, you think he's a bum?
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
That's so wrong.
He's
not a bum.
Everyone give us great answers. I think it's a good answer. A really interesting relationship. Two characters, different generations. Seltzer, what do you got?
I think that's a haymaker answer. Yep. I will take one completely off the board. I want to leave the best ones on the table. I don't know if anyone on this show has even seen this movie. Has anyone seen The Grand Budapest Hotel?
Yes.
All right, M. Gustav and Zero in that movie.
Oh.
Phenomenal relationship. I think Ralph Fiennes, that's one of the best performances of the 2000s. That movie's awesome.
Right, that's one of my favorite What's-His-Face
Wes Anderson. It's my favorite Wes Anderson.
Best answer wins the tickets to the Killers. Devin, what are you thinking here?
Okay, well, you literally took my Karate Kid Mr. Miyagi answer, so I'm going to go with a show that was just reportedly renewed for season, Rebecca Welton and Keeley Jones.
Yeah.
like their relationship.
I do, too. So I didn't hear that it was renewed. I heard that it's being discussed.
Oh, I thought it was official. I mean, but you would know. You have the people mad.
Yeah,
so.
No, I heard Lasso's not on board yet, but they're in talks.
Okay.
Which is good.
Well, the problem is he doesn't want to be. You heard why, right?
Yeah, he doesn't.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah, he doesn't want to go back to, Europe.
He doesn't
for that
want
much time.
To be apart from his kids.
Yeah. So
just
we'll
like the coach on the show.
Well, maybe they'll do like Gladiator did and just change the star. What a freaking joke that is. No one's a bigger Denzel fan than me. But Denzel and Gladiator instead of Russell Crowe, like Gladiator died. Hate to spoil the news if you didn't see the movie from 24 years ago. He died.
You know there wasn't.
How do we have another
one?
How do we have another
Gladiator? Just one Gladiator that ever fought in Rome.
I don't like it. That's phony.
Why
baloney.
Do you feel
Why?
Like there's
many
only...
movies have done this where it's just the world
make a
and you
new
create
movie.
Like The Quiet Place. Quiet Place Day One came out. It's the Day One. The other movies were way past that. Years past the same. No characters
that.
In
right,
it. I know he doesn't. I'm just using an example.
215-592-9494 to weigh in on all this. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, guys. How are we today?
Super,
fantastic.
Dan.
We got another win last night, Dan. Three in a row.
But it's a win that's going to spur more good feeling and future wins as well.
And it was a fighting Phils win, you know? Like
that's right. That's a good point.
There was.
Yep, that's right.
Defensively. So I told Jimmy, I don't want to sound like Mad Mike or anything here, but I guarantee the Eagles lose their first game in Green Bay.
Why?
We could.
Dan, you said you guarantee it.
That's not ridiculous to say.
Well, I think it's ridiculous to guarantee it. Why do you guarantee it?
So, I don't. Obviously, we have the no preseason play. We have this whole new dynamic in the coaching, and then you have the travel. And like you just said, you're playing at 10 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. I just don't think it sets up well as an opening game, especially.
What do you think it sets up well for Green Bay? I mean, it's the same thing.
I know, but I'm pretty sure they played some of their players in the preseason.
They did.
I don't know what
They played their starters.
The secrecy is, like, you cannot see Jalen Hurts in the preseason.
And, Dan, make nothing of the fact that Sirianni, with light playing of players in the past, is 3-0. You make nothing of that in his opening games?
Yeah, I just think this year is different with it, though. I don't know why, Joe. I got this feeling. I don't know why there was nobody out there. And, by the way, we have a new running back, right? We have new offensive linemen, and I know they're coaching. I mean, I know they're doing practices, and I know they're...
Dan, let me ask you the same question I've asked John a few times in the last couple weeks. I'm really curious how you take this on, because the argument to play them, obviously, is, you know, get some reps in, get your body a little more conditioned. Okay, I get those points. You know, have the preparation mentally entering the game. All right. Generally, a lot of people say get them out there for one or two series. Let's say it equates to, I'll be generous, 9 plays. You actually think Jalen Hurts playing 9 plays, of which he'd probably throw it 6 times and hand it off 3 times. You actually think that really makes a legitimate difference?
So I kind of do. So you're playing against.
Explain to me how. How does he turning around and handing the ball to the running back? How does that actually impact things?
Hold on. Think about the 6 hours before he turned around and handed the ball off to that running back. Think about how different it was for him to get ready for that game if he was playing versus if he wasn't playing.
It's different. But he's also
it's completely different.
But he's also
and
gotten
he
ready
didn't
for
do any of the hey get ready to play like you're playing preparation yet this
and
year,
despite the fact that
he has a new offensive coordinator and a completely new protection system.
Yeah.
That I want to see. I need to see this applied in practical application on the field where there's a pocket. And he's protected. I would have loved to have seen that in the preseason. And I'm like you're saying, maybe it's 10 reps. Maybe it's 15 reps. A couple drives. That's all I need. But I wanted to see it actively carried out from when it's called Kellen Moore up in the booth all the way down to the sideline, out to the field.
Well, Dan,
a couple drives.
Dan, for what it's worth, one of the 32 teams already lost their starting quarterback because he played in a game and got hurt. I mean...
I'm not saying that's a
was that in a game or was it in practice, Joe?
I thought it was a game. Was it practice?
I don't know. I think it might have been
all
practice.
All right, Dan, give me an answer here. For the killer tickets, killer's tickets, most interesting relationship, generational divide.
Both Yoda and Luke Skywalker.
Wow.
That is interesting.
Mm. Okay,
wow.
He
multiple generations divided there.
Yeah, that's a great
that's
answer.
That's huge.
That's a big-time answer.
Yeah.
215-592-9494.
Joe, it was in the opener that he tore
his opening game.
Meniscus.
Gotcha. And we're talking, if you don't know, we're talking about the old Michigan quarterback who was going to be the starting quarterback for the Vikings. Vikings, right?
Yeah,
correct.
J.J. McCarthy.
Yep. Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Thinking about making the switch to an electric vehicle? Well, think Armin Chevy. Armin has incredible leases on the Blazer EV and Equinox EV. Together, let's drive. All right, today's question. Who do you think made the decision to give Taiwan Walker another start? Three choices and three choices only. We go top down. A, the main man that runs the Phillies organization in that the pocketbook, the purse, the wallet. It's his pocketbook, purse, and wallet. John Middleton, the owner. Choice B, Dave Dombrowski, GM, but he's not really GM. He's what they call executive vice president of baseball operations. He oversees baseball. Choice C, Rob Thompson, the manager. Who made the call? Now, you can vote at Sports Radio WIP
on
Twitter. Sam Folt's not on that list. That's
right. Even though he's our GM.
Nor is Caleb Kaufman. All right. Are you bothered, John, that he gets another start? I am bothered by it. I find it incredible that they can't come up with someone else to get this start. And I know it might not and probably won't last much longer, but I find it highly bizarre that they don't go with my theory of anybody else.
I think I'm deaf now after that.
A minor leaguer. I'll take 15 relief pitchers. I'll take 77 different minor leaguers.
It does feel like
I'll
it's
take
so
anybody
soon, too.
Else.
And he's right back in our face. It feels so tone deaf, but maybe he just doesn't care. He wants to eat innings.
No,
I don't agree with getting him back out there in any way. It does not help anything from an attitude perspective. Like if I'm a teammate, I'm incensed.
I'm just like, what do we have to see?
I agree, John.
For him to stop being trusted. No one can possibly trust this guy. Why does the manager?
I know they're kind of trying to play a little game where, okay, he doesn't pitch against the Braves. Mm-hmm. He pitches against the Astros. I mean, honestly, I don't see the games really that different in consequence because I don't see the Phillies-Braves thing as, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Braves could get back into it. I'm not saying the game doesn't matter, matter a decent amount. But to me, they almost all matter the same because, I mean, Devin, in your updates, for every time you say the Phillies and Braves, mm-hmm. you're saying the Phillies and Dodgers and the Phillies and Brewers. I mean,
right.
I think more in terms of the yeah. Phillies and Dodgers.
I care more yes. about that right
so
now.
So do I.
Phillies Dodgers is
totally.
At the forefront.
I mean, right. every day when I wake up, I mean, I'm looking into the standings and who won the prior night for anything I missed before going to bed, but I'll call it focus more mm-hmm. on the Dodgers result than the Braves result.
Yeah.
So having Taiwan, I mean, Taiwan pitch against anyone to me is ridiculous. I know it's not going to last much longer unless he has an incredible rebound, but I just feel like he's done enough bad to not warrant another start.